appreciate you.
Amen. It's a delight to be with you. I always look forward to Jubilee. Amen. Are you jubilant? I would like to give you 7 ways to live a jubilant life. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to write them all down?
Amen.
What would be even better if you practiced them?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we love coming here and we're so grateful for this week of meetings. And we know that God wants to do some great and mighty things in our lives.
Amen.
And He'll do what we let Him do. And when we don't let Him do what He wants to do, He encourages us.
Amen.
He does interesting things to change our attitude.
Amen.
And cause us to want what He wants. Amen.
Amen.
And it's kind of like a revival, isn't it?
Amen.
When we come to that place in our lives where we say, Lord, I surrender. I want to do what You want me to do. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 126, a very interesting chapter in the Bible. The last 2 verses have been quoted a lot, but the first 4 verses have not been so much. I want to take you to all of them today. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us.
Amen.
Whereof we are glad.
Amen.
Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this God-given opportunity.
Amen.
To just settle in here for a week.
Yes.
And see what You will do.
Yes.
Oh God, we are a needy people.
Amen.
We are in a nation that is divided. But we are not.
Amen.
Our hope rests in You. We know that You're the only one that can really give us joy and happiness.
Amen.
And a fulfilled, spirit-filled life.
Thank You.
Do that for us today, we pray. May this set the stage of the moving of the power of Your Spirit in the life of Your people. And may many come. May many be stirred and changed for Your glory and honor. We pray it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life.
Amen.
Finish it with me. And that ye might have it more abundant. Oh, I like the abundant life. Don't you? I like to experience it now and then. We have our moments, don't we? But boy, it's exciting when we empty out of self and we become filled with the power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's what Christian living really is.
Amen.
And the more people that experience, the more united we are, the more powerful God can work through us, and it is contagious. Amen.
Amen.
And we must ask God to help us to come to that place where we live a jubilant life. This passage of Scripture begins in captivity. I want you to notice there in verse 1, circle the word when. When. Notice when. Then go down to verse 2 and say, circle the word then. And I want you to write this little statement down there in your book. God's when is our then. God's when is our then. When God does something, then things begin to happen. You'll notice with me there in verse 1, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, We were like them that, say it with me.
Dream.
Dream. Now, between the when and the then is dream, the word dream. I believe the first way that we can begin to live a jubilant life is when we begin to dream. Everybody here is a dreamer at some point in time. I know your pastor's a dreamer. He dreams of larger attendance, bigger offerings, more souls saved, the baptismal water stirring more, right?
Amen.
You know, the pastor and his wife, when they go home on Sunday morning, you know what they're going to talk about? Well, let me see, so-and-so wasn't there today, and oh man, I prayed for that person, I called them, and I dreamed that they would be here, but they didn't come. Did you ever dream for something and it didn't happen? How many ever dreamed for something and it did happen? Oh man, that's exciting, isn't it? You know, not always does God give us everything that we want. He did say, delight thyself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Dreaming in the Bible is amazing. The Bible, you go from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find people that dream. Jacob in Genesis 28 dreamed. Joseph in chapter 37 dreamed. The wise men in Matthew 2, they dreamed. Solomon dreamed. Pharaoh even dreamed. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. Daniel interpreted, by the way. Pilate's wife dreamed. She said, I don't want you to have anything to do with this Jesus. Pilate went ahead and washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. He was really guilty of Amen. Announcing his death sentence, but it had to be. Even in the book of Jude, the Bible talks about filthy dreamers. That's not good. Why do we dream? We dream of what God will do. A mother, when she, even before she has the baby, she'll dream about her child. Then they're born, they have a dedication. That mother, as she rocks that baby late into the night, she'll dream about, what's God going to do with my child? Dream about God doing mighty works. I really believe that the Christian life is a life of expectation. We dream believing God for great things.
Amen.
If we don't have anything from God, we probably didn't ask anything.
Right.
Asking is the first step to getting. And I believe that we must ask God to move in and work in our midst. We must believe that prayer does work. Prayer really is a form of dreaming what God will do in the life of His people. In fact, Ecclesiastes says in chapter 5, verse 3, a dream cometh through a multitude of business. I believe we're to be busy servants of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're not just to live in a dream world and then not do anything to make it happen. It's like having faith and no works. It's not going to get you anywhere. If you have faith, it will work. And you will see God use you as you labor. You put feet to your prayers. You put feet to your dreams. You say, Lord, reveal to me through your word what you want me to do, and then I'll do it.
Amen.
It's wonderful. In fact, Daniel made the statement in Daniel 2:28, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets.
Amen.
He reveals secrets. I must tell you this story. I don't know whether I told this before, but I found myself as a young boy going into a store and stealing some ice cream sandwiches. I don't know whether you heard that or not. Maybe some of you did, but I thought I really performed the perfect crime. I ate all of them, destroyed the paper evidence, and 30 days went by, and I thought, man, that worked out great. Nobody found out about it, and I think maybe I'll set forth to do my second robbery. You know, I mean, if you're successful at it, why quit? So we're sitting around the supper table one night, and my dad's at the other end. I'm at the foot of the table. He's at the head of the table, and he looked at me. He said, Daniel, this is 30, 40 days later. Daniel, have you been stealing from Nate Morehouse's store? I was so shocked that How did you find out? I blew my cover immediately. And man, we went on a whaling expedition at that point. And whoo-hoo, the smoke alarm went off, let me tell you. And we had quite a time there. Then he marched me up to Mrs. Morehouse, and boy, she gave me the riot act. And I had to pay back all the money for those sandwiches and so on and so forth. But when I finally recovered, I said to Dad, how did you find out? He said, little birdie told me. God revealeth secrets. Amen. You know, one of the sins of parents is not questioning your children. Sometimes we want to question them because we don't want to have to deal with anything if there's something wrong. But my dad cured me of stealing ice cream sandwiches. Amen. And anything else. He revealed a secret. And what he was saying was the Holy Spirit told me to ask you that question. You talk about God caring about Danny Knickerbocker. Amen. What I'm saying is that God reveals things to us for us to be better Christians, for us to come to that place where we are all that God wants us to be. And when God speaks to us through His Word, sometimes He reveals things to us as we're in our imagination, as we're thinking, and God is seeking to get a hold of our hearts and our lives that we might be fruitful and useful in God's care. So we see the when of God is the then of man. It all began with a dream. We need to dream. We need to dream big dreams. Amen. Oh God, do some mighty things. I'd like to see more miracles performed. Wouldn't you? Amen. I will tell you about a miracle. The van sitting out there, it belongs to the Lord. Yeah, He paid for it. And a pretty amazing story. I didn't have any money to upgrade our van, and I knew we needed to, and we were praying about it. And a preacher in Ohio just said to me, do you have any needs, things that are burdening your heart? I'm talking about God revealing secrets. Amen. And I said, well, I said, I don't know. Should I tell you? I was kind of like, I didn't want him to think that I was on the take, so to speak, and told him that we needed to upgrade our van. And that's all I said to him. And boy, he prayed over the phone about it. I was with him that Sunday. And I said, brother, don't bring this up before the church. You know, I don't want them to think I'm here on the take. And, you know, and he goes, well, I'll tell you what, if the Holy Spirit tells me to talk about it, I will. If he doesn't, I won't. I said, fair enough. And he said something at the end of the service and said, I think the church could, we'd like to vote and give Brother Knickerbocker and his wife $1,000 toward a fund for a van. We were like, amen. And he said, if anybody wants to put anything in on Sunday night, you can put it in. We'll add to it. He handed me a check for $11,500.
Amen.
Wow. The deacon I was staying with, he said, well, I guess we're going to go looking for some conversion vans tomorrow. And after I get done milking. And so we went and looked around. But we finally found one. And within 47 days, it was paid off.
Amen.
Now, God does things like
praise
that. I'd like to just live with God doing all the things for me. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, well, last month God did this, this month God did that. Every month. I hope you'll record your answers to prayer because you'd be surprised how much God does for you that you forget
Amen.
About.
Amen.
One of our problems is having trouble remembering.
Right.
I know some of you are older than others, but we all forget things. We must remember. We must dream about what God has for us. Number two. You'll notice in verse 2 it says, then my mouth was filled with what? Laughter. You know, laughter's in the Bible. Yeah, I see too many Christians that look troubled. They look like they got a cloud over them. Poor me. God loves everybody else but me. You ever get around people like that? They're discouraged all the time. They got their eyes on the circumstances. And then if somebody else is excited, they throw a wet blanket on it. Yeah, they don't want anybody else to be any happier than they are. No. I want to show you something in the Bible here. Remember Sarah in chapter 21 of Genesis? Hey, she laughed twice. In chapter 18, she laughed because she said, there's no way God's going to give me a child. I'm too old. And, you know, she was laughing. It was almost like a laugh of derision or a laugh of doubt. But then in chapter 21, I want to read this to you. Chapter 21, verse 6. God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh also. Amen. What happens when God does something for us? It brings jubilation. It brings joy to us. We get excited, man. We're happy in Jesus.
Amen.
You know? We're always sharing something that God did. We ought to be.
Amen.
It's sad when somebody goes, well, let me think. Let me see. 24 years ago. No, yesterday. God did something wonderful in my life. You know, the Bible says there is a time to weep, but there also is a time to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Amen. Oh, it'd be better to get our weeping over with, our weeping of repentance, weeping our way to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we can live the rest of our lives in joy. Amen. And in happiness and in jubilation. Oh, we must have this. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, some people just laugh their way through life in the sense that they don't take anything seriously. I've talked to people that were always cracking jokes. You talk to them about God and unbelievers. And they make fun. Yeah, we're going to have a great time in hell, all my buddies. Now we're going to be drinking and carrying on. And they're laughing, but they ought to be weeping. Oh, listen, hell's real.
Amen.
Hell's coming for many people, and this is the motivating thing that causes us to want to reach them. We've got the joy. They don't.
Amen.
It's pretty bad when the lost people are happier than the Christian.
Right.
Oh, we must be filled with joy. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 6. This is an interesting verse. In Luke chapter 6, look with me there at verse 22. Verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall what? He said, happy. The word blessed has the meaning of happiness, right? Blessed are ye when men shall what? They're going to hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company. Have you ever been ostracized at work? You ever been ostracized because you're a born-again Christian? One of those religious nuts that goes to church every time the doors are open? And then this week you're going to go like crazy. You're going to come in dead tired from work, but you're going to have that joy because you know God's got something for you.
Amen.
Oh man, I'll tell you, it's the people that stay home that don't get the joy. Watch this. It says, and not only are they going to separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. They're going to even talk. They're going to speak lies about you. Yeah, it happens all the time. They lie about you, but notice what it says here. For the Son of Man's sake, they're doing these things against you because they hate your Christ. Look at the next verse. Rejoice. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy.
Amen.
It's been a long time since you kicked your heels up. Amen. Leaping for joy. Man, I want to tell you, we ought to be so joyful that it gets into our system to where, hey, I was at Sammy Allen's camp meeting this week. I told Ann, I hope I behave myself this next week up here. Man, you talk about some folks that got excited. Now, I know you're Northerners and everything, and you're north of the Mason-Dixon line, so you have a right to sit there stoically. But you could say amen once in a while, amen. You could say glory to God once in a while, amen. You might even lift your hand and you could even laugh. I have a tendency when I hear good preaching, I'll sometimes start laughing. It's a holy laughter. Yeah, right. I'd rather laugh and enjoy the things of God and than to be going, well, I wonder when he's going to get done. You know what I mean? Laughter. Do you have it? Oh, you need it. Lightheartedness is a result of laughter. you're lighthearted. You're free. You're rejoicing in what God has done for you. And you don't have any worries. The Bible says be careful for nothing. You don't worry about anything. And you always pray about everything with thanksgiving. Then you have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Oh, what a God we have. We need to start laughing a little bit. Let's show our joy. Let's show this world how happy
Amen.
Jesus has made us. Think about it.
Praise
to be forgiven
Lord.
Of all your sin.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's shout to the Lord, and I can leave it right there.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Casting all your cares upon Him. Notice the phrase is all.
Amen.
We cast a few cares, but we like to carry some around and pout. No, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Number three, how about some singing?
Amen.
Notice what it says here, back here in Psalm chapter 126. Look with me there. I want you to notice. It says, in our tongue with what? Singing.
Amen.
I saw a verse the other day. It hadn't dawned on me. Just go back to Psalm 119, 162. It says, I rejoice in thy word,
amen,
as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and I abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Look at this verse right here, 16. Underline it. Seven times a day. That's more than the Muslims. Isn't that good? That's even more than Daniel, who prayed three times a day.
Right.
Seven times. You know, seven is the number of perfection.
Right.
We ought to try to just pray at least seven times a day. Notice what it says. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. We can't carry around the sin of the whole world. We just turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, you deal with righteous judgment.
Amen.
We can perform righteous judgment, the Bible tells us. We must be righteous in our judgments. We must cast our burdens upon the Lord, and we must come to that place in our lives where we're so busy singing that we don't have time to complain.
Amen.
We don't have time to be bitter. Singing is from the heart. When they dedicated the temple in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27 is in the dedication of the temple. The Bible says that the singers sang loud. Amen. Boy, they let it rip.
Amen.
They were excited about what the Lord had done.
Amen.
The dedication of the wall meant that God's temple is under protection. We are now building this city for God's glory. Oh, by the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what?
Thanks.
Singing. We need to be a singing people.
Amen.
Now, some can't carry a tune. But sing anyway. We'll tolerate it. We'll endure it. I remember one time when I was in Bible college, the music director got all of the college boys up there. There was, I don't know, the whole school was 65 students, right? There may have been about 30 guys. And he got them up there and he said, let's start singing Amazing Grace. And then he went, you leave. Those are the guys that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, amen? And when he got them all out of there, it sounded beautiful. But a few of the fellows were like, why'd he put me out? We'll tell you later. Singing and making a melody in your hearts to the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5. The disciples in the upper room, wow. They sung a hymn and went out. That time of tragedy and disappointment and wow, what's happening? Everything seems to be falling apart. But they had sung a hymn. Even when one had walked out that was going to reject or deny, betray the Lord Jesus. Even one that would deny Him. They were singing before that happened. Oh, in Acts chapter 6, they were beaten, Paul and Silas. And so what did they do? They prayed. And they sung praises unto God. Acts 6:25. And the prisoners heard them. And of course, it resulted in the jailer's salvation.
Amen.
You never know who's watching you.
Amen.
And we need to be a happy people. We need to be singing the praises of our great God. Doesn't music stir your heart? It does. Thank God for it. But I like it when you sing. When God puts a song in your heart. Sometimes we listen to people sing. Yes, we get a blessing. But what's really thrilling is when God does something for you.
Amen.
Oh, man. Old Lonnie Moore was up there singing at that camp meeting. And I'm telling you, God moved in there. And I'll tell you, it was powerful. And as he sang, you could just sense the presence of God and people weeping and crying out. Some were running. Some were shouting. And I thought, you know, this is what's supposed to happen.
Amen.
When we get in His presence.
Right.
In His presence is fullness of what? Joy.
Yeah. Amen.
At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Oh, we can have a lifetime of things that God has done that has kept us. Hey, what keeps you faithful? I celebrate 41 years this year. And I'm like, what's kept me faithful? The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. People that pray for us.
Amen.
My wife that helps me. Amen. There's so many. I just can't begin to tell you how many reasons why God has kept us faithful. How He's done it. It's amazing.
Amen.
To be able to go to, what, 23? Did you say 23 Jubilees? To be at every one of them from the very first? That's pretty neat. Wow. Oh, God's so good to us. Now, let's move on. Number four, rejoicing that God hath done great things for what? Them. Look with me there in verse 3. The Lord hath, or verse 2, it says, the Lord hath done great things for them. Are you able to rejoice in the blessings of others?
Amen.
I think this is very important.
Amen.
There may be people you don't even like that God's blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Got to be careful. How come God's blessing them and you think they're not right with God and God's not blessing you? Maybe it's because you're bitter. Maybe it's because you haven't forgiven. So many people live their whole life in bitterness.
Right.
Unforgiving. It's a terrible curse.
Amen.
That can be harbored and protected in the life of a believer. I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. Well, you never forgave them. Forgiving them is a freedom.
Amen.
You're no longer carrying that. You're no longer musing upon that. You're no longer getting any entertainment out of it.
Right.
You're not able to spew it out to others either because you've forgiven them. Some people wouldn't be able to talk much if they weren't criticizing somebody.
Sorry.
I'd rather be a silent Christian and not criticize people than to be a big blabbermouth.
Amen.
Telling all the stories of things that everybody else and God's forgotten. But here we're still holding on to it. If you can't rejoice over the blessings of others, how are you going to experience your own blessings? Sometimes God blesses and we don't even realize it. They're innumerable.
Amen.
We pulled off the road coming here. Man, I'll tell you, traffic's nuts out there. We pulled off the road. We were going to get a motel and then realized it was a dive. And so we got back in the van. And about the time we came around, there was a bad accident up ahead. I said, Dan, you know, we could have been in that accident. You don't know how much God blesses you.
Right.
We must not complain.
Amen.
We must not worry about tomorrow because God holds tomorrow.
Right.
He's got it all figured out.
Amen.
He knows all about your need. He knows exactly what you need.
Amen.
And you can cast your burden upon the Lord. Number five, rejoice with that God hath done great things for us. We live in Thanksgiving, don't we? It's not Thanksgiving just November, toward the end of the month. But no, it's Thanksgiving all the time. Go with me to Psalm 124. Just a couple, not even a page over there. It's on the same page, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Why do they say it twice? Because it bears repeating. Let's say it all together. The first verse, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. The Lord is on our side. I don't have to worry about where God's at. I just need to worry about where I'm at. He's right there. Listen, we are the temple of God. He dwells in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Why should we ever be discouraged? I think discouragement's a sin. Have you ever been guilty of discouragement, Brother Knickerbocker? Yes. When I get my eyes on people and circumstances. But he's not worried about a thing.
Amen.
Vance Havner, when his wife died, he couldn't sleep. He was tossing and turning. He was just devastated over her death and missed her terribly. And he was just, he felt as though he was even getting sick. He was just feeling terrible. And finally he said, Lord, you never sleep and you never slumber. Can I let you worry about my wife till I wake up?
Amen.
And he learned a lesson right there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Amen.
Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Amen.
And he'll take care of things.
Amen.
He'll work it all out. Our God is able. And we must come to that place in our lives where we believe that he will take care of everything. And we must realize that he is able to do everything.
Amen.
That needs to be done in our life. We need nothing but God.
Amen.
My father, he's with the Lord now, but he was one that was always praising the Lord. I was talking to Steve Goolsby the other day. He's an evangelist that preached for my dad. And he said, we were driving down the road, and he said, your dad said to me, Steve, give me 10 things you thank the Lord for. And so he gave him 10 things, and then dad gave 10 things, and then he said, Steve, give me 20 more. He goes, 20 more? He said, I just started and started thinking back on the things of God, and I came up with another 20. One time my dad said to me, give me 50 things. I said, well, I've had 49 years of life, 38 years of life. Now I only need two more. He goes, no, give me 50 things that God's done for you. You know, we ought to try that on people. You get around somebody that's complaining, say, let's stop the complaining for a moment. Give me 20 things you thank the Lord for. It'll change their attitude. You heard about the preacher. I don't know if he did or not, but he had a lady in his church. Every time he came to church, he'd just be, you know, complaining and carrying on. It was pitiful to talk to her. Finally, he just said to her, sister, you make the best apple pies in the church. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I want you to make 7 pies and every day take one to one of the families of the church. By the end of the week, when she came to see the pastor, her countenance had totally changed. And all she talked about was the people she gave the pies to. Now, that could be an expensive habit, amen. But it's better than boo-hooing. It's better than complaining, amen. Oh, listen, we need to come back to the place where we rejoice that God has done great things for us.
Amen.
Number 5, and I've got moments. No, number 6, sow in tears. A few years ago, I preached on a tearless generation. And I think we are to a point. Oh, there ought to be weeping in our midst. There ought to be crying out unto God. Sow in tears. You know, it's interesting. You've got to weep before you can rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of truth in that. Yes. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then number 7. Notice these words here, the latter part. He that goeth forth and weepeth. We're going to go out one day, aren't we, this week? Wednesday. We're going out, man. We're going to go out. We're going to talk to people about the Lord.
Amen.
You get a lot of people going, you can cover a lot of ground quickly.
Amen.
And I love it. And you never know who's ready to receive it. But he makes a statement here. He that goeth forth and what? Weepeth. How long has it been since you cried over a lost soul? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. shall doubtless or without a doubt, you're going to come again rejoicing. Now, I can guarantee if you don't go, you're not going to come back with any reaping. And if you don't weep, you can't. If you don't weep, you can't reap.
That's right.
And God help us to get a tender heart for a lost and dying world.
Yeah, right.
May we find out that God's greatest goal in our lives is our witness.
Amen.
Yeah. The happy people are the witnessing people.
Amen.
The laughing people are the witnessing people. The dreaming people are the witnessing people. Amen. The people that can rejoice over others are the reaping people. And may God help us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly